Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
Well, we are so excited to be doing this podcast here for the herd and appreciate that Colin Coward came to us and said, you know what, there is a gap out there for the Cowboys fans wanting Cowboys-centric news. And of course, I'm a reporter for the NFL Network. I'm up here 4 out of the 7 days a week, and that's on a light week, and joined by my producer, Bobby Belt. Belt, known by a lot of Cowboys fans for the content, the research, the stats, and the analysis that he puts out there in the Twitter space. So we decided to do this, and we're excited about it. So thanks for tuning in now to what is going to be our first podcast. We'll be doing this twice a week, and we hope that you listen to this one and many more from here on out.
Yeah, no, this is really exciting and, you know, a good avenue to go ahead and expand on all those things that we don't necessarily have time for to get to in the reports that you're doing up here at the network. I mean, you know, we just as an example today, when we're sitting here recording this podcast, Jane's got several hits today, and, you know, we were able to run through a different topic for all 6 or 7 of them, and we still feel like, man, there's still so much more left to say. And so that's what we're going to hopefully be able to do for you here, and also, you know, kind of pull back the curtain, show how the sausage is made a little bit, and give you some insight into, you know, the backstories that don't always make it to Twitter, don't always make it into the, you know, radio shows or whatever else. We want this to be different. You know, we don't want it to just be white noise.
Because, look, you can tune into NFL Network, go to NFL.com and Fox Sports and various places for your Cowboys news. But, you know, to Bobby's point, we have a great relationship with the players outside of the locker room, agents, personal coaches of these guys. There's so many insights and interesting takes that we get. We've got guests that we plan on having on the show. I've talked to Dez Bryant. He wants to do this. Ooh. DeMarcus Ware, get them on the show. And so, again, this is a place where sort of a Cowboys cornucopia of sorts. We're literally going to lay out the buffet for you and, you know, take you inside. So it's just not news and information, but there's just so much that we gather in the course of a day. And you and I do this already. So we thought, why not welcome you in to a place that feels like we're all part of a community here, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to make a point here. If you're looking for hot sports takes on the Cowboys, you're not going to get it here. I take a lot of pride in the fact that I am a journalist first, and I'm a reporter that covers this team. So I just want to give you that disclaimer. I think that I'm operating outside the boundaries as a journalist if I'm giving you hot sports takes. Yeah. Instead, we want to give you information.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as much as people talk about we live in a clickbait society, and, you know, it's always, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, and, you know, this era of fake news, quote unquote, I think that's underselling what generally the public as a whole wants, including Cowboys fans. I think Cowboys fans do want the meat. I don't think they want the hot takes. I think that's vastly underselling, not that you are, but just in general, those who think that, you know, everybody just wants the clickbait and the hot takes. I don't think they do. I think this is exactly the kind of thing that they stop and they want. And, you know, like I said a few minutes ago, we don't want this to be white noise, and that's because the Cowboys are anything but white noise. There is nothing white noise about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I half joked that when Colin came to me about doing this podcast, I feel like there's so many podcasts out there, Bobby, and mm-hmm. I really didn't want to get into a space where I'm spending time on something that I feel like there's so many out there. But this is sort of us thinking out loud. And I want the fans to be able to do that with us. And more importantly, not just our fans that are men, but our fans that are women. Yeah. We have so many passionate female fans. And I know that when I did radio here in Dallas, that was the one thing that I was most proud of, was that we had so many intelligent, smart women that love sports and more specifically love the Cowboys. So, again, we'll start getting into some Cowboys news and notes here, but I just wanted to go ahead and set the table for you. This is why we're doing it. We're excited about doing this. And, of course, we're always open to suggestions, talking points, ideas. I feel that Bobby and I engage pretty well with those of you on social media. So thank you to those of you that follow us. But yeah, we hope you enjoy this and this brings some value to you as the fan.
Yeah. And you know, if you guys want to drop a line or you have anything that you'd like us to discuss, any questions that you might have, you know, you can reach out to us on Twitter. I'm Bobby Belt TX, Jane's at Slater NFL. And so, you know, it, like it says in the opening, like Jane said a couple times here, Cowboys community. This isn't just supposed to be, you know, all right, sit back, peon, and listen to us, you know, drop some knowledge on you. I mean, we want to share the, you know, insights and the advantages that we have given our proximity to this team and this, you know, organization. And we want to be able to extend that to you, but we also want to hear your thoughts and we also want to, you know, touch on the things that are of interest to you.
And when we talk proximity, we are actually here at the Star in Frisco recording this first podcast for you. So let's get going. You know, we talked last week about, you and I felt it. It was palpable. Mm-hmm. All you had to do was listen to sports talk, be around this team, walk into the locker room. And while this locker room, I've never felt like has lost themselves, right?
Right.
You could feel the sense of urgency, the need for a win. But if you listen to all the noise outside of the Star in Frisco, the sky is falling. Jason Garrett needs to be fired. Brett Maher, the kicker, needs to go. DeMarcus Lawrence got his paycheck and then decided not to produce on the football field. So many of those questions answered within the first 10 minutes of that game against the Eagles on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, and I tweeted it at the time that you could not have asked for a better start from the Cowboys just in terms of the boxes that they checked. I mean, as you said, you know, it was preparation, fast start. Why aren't they getting any turnovers? Why isn't the kicker, you know, more consistent? Why do we have this issue, that issue? It was everything. It was, you had a turnover in the first few minutes. It wasn't just a turnover. It was a turnover from one of your linebackers who has been getting a lot of criticism. It was then the, you know, there was a lot of chatter this week about the Cowboys haven't started a drive in opposing territory. Well, you started one right there. You scored your first touchdown of the year. That was that fast start you needed. And, you know, it carried over. And that's why the Cowboys talked so much about the fast start, is because it matters for momentum. They don't want to continue to dig themselves a hole and you know, have to, you know, kind of climb their way back into it. There was, you know, I thought it was actually a good question that Clarence Hill asked Dak Prescott after the game, where he said, you know, why does it take backs against the wall? You know, you guys always talk about backs against the wall mentality. Why does it take backs against the wall for you guys to come out and do this kind of thing consistently? And you know, Dak accepted that and said, you know, we're going to correct that. He said, that's not going to be a problem anymore. We, you know, that has been a problem, and we acknowledge that, and that's not going to be an issue for us anymore. And I thought this week, you know, as much as they like to say they block out the noise and things like that, I think
they
absolutely listen, and I think they were keenly aware specifically of the criticism of their head coach, and I think they didn't want to step out there and drop the ball for him. I think that's why you heard things like Dak last week saying that he was telling guys, you know, we need to be practicing harder. We need to be carrying this. So that was player-to-player accountability of, we got to stop dropping the ball for him because, you know, he's done so much for us.
It's why I laugh so much when my friends at the networks, you know, whether they have me on their shows or I'm doing radio, and I get asked about, well, how hot is Jason Garrett's seat? And I'm always like, it's warmer. He got a one-year deal because it was a prove-it deal, right? I think mm-hmm. The Cowboys are, the word I would use is frustrated with the fact that their coach, who, while he's only had one losing season, it's still not that ultimate goal of a Super Bowl. Jerry Jones has been talking about the window closing in Dallas since I've been covering the Cowboys the second time around. You know, I covered them in the early 2000s and then, you know, starting back in 2012. So the window's been closing for a while. Man, that thing needs, like, what's the spray that you typically put on a door so it's not, you know, it slides easier?
Yeah, the WD-40.
It needs WD-40 because it is, that window's not going anywhere. But to your point, I've long maintained that while we're hearing rumors of a leak in Philly, that there's mm-hmm. players outing the fact that Carson Wentz isn't getting it done from them, and there's frustration, and their head coach felt the need to go out there and instill confidence in his team and say, we're going to get the win over Dallas, and then we're going to be the NFC East champions, which, by the way, I didn't have a problem with. I don't know why
No.
that was blown out of proportion.
No.
But the Cowboys players have never been narcs when it comes to their head coach.
Narcs. I like the term narcs.
They've never narked on their coach privately or publicly. And I believe that that is why Jason Garrett continues to have job security in Dallas. And I will maintain that he will continue to have that job security so long as his franchise quarterback, Dak Prescott, and the rest of this team continue to buy in. And when you know that they're buying in is when so many guys on this team sound like their head coach.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, there are few guys on this team that really run their mouths. But as Jalen Smith pointed out, DeMarcus Lawrence might run his mouth, but he typically backs it up.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly.
And if you're going to be the guy that's going to talk, you got to back it up.
And you know what? There's got to be. So I think that's a two-sided coin, actually, in that, you know, there's some real comfort knowing that DeMarcus Lawrence seemingly does have that ability to just say, all right, there's my ammo, there's my fire, let's go, let's do this. And, you know, hadn't had a sack against the Eagles in 10 games. I know in 10 games against them first career, I know he told you post-game that when you asked him about the Doug Peterson comments, you know, he was like, yeah, Doug, I mean, yeah, I heard that. But I also heard on Twitter people were saying, I never got a sack against Lane Johnson. It's like, okay, Tank really, you know, does – well, he will take whatever he can to fire himself up. That's great. And that's cool to know that you – and impressive to know you've got a player who has that ability to take something and reach another level. The only thing then, the other side of that is, and I heard Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com say something similar to this, when you set yourself up like that, you're then potentially falling into this habit of always trying to find something to fire you up instead of just being prepared.
I mean, my argument is whatever it works. I mean, if you look at Tank, look at his comments that he made last year ahead of the New Orleans Saints game. Mm-hmm. That was an upset.
Yep.
And then listen to these comments that he made ahead of this one.
Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson, their coach, said earlier this week that, you know, that they're going to win this game.
All right, he got to come here. Tell him to come on.
I was just wondering what your thoughts are.
Yeah, tell him to come on. We ready.
You like that?
Can he play the game?
Not anymore.
So he might want to shut his ass up and stay on the sideline. He can't play the game for him. The Eagles got to come play him, and he's supposed to sit on the sideline and, you know, do whatever he wants to do, but he can't play the game for him, so we'll see.
I know you guys have a rotation on the line, but you're playing fewer snaps than your last year.
You ain't got to worry about it this week. Doug Peterson already going to call this out, so y'all know what it is.
Okay, so you had a couple of people going, should he have said that? That sounds like an attack on someone's head coach. But then, as you said, he had that game, and then listen to what he said after the game.
When your rival makes a statement that they'll win the game and you disprove that, how does that feel?
I told him to shut up, Nana. All right, so what you think he's doing now? Don't ask me about that man no more, bro.
You sort of need a dog on this team. Ever since they lost Dez Bryant, I felt like they haven't had that sort of dog. You need a dog. I mean, they've got guys that, like I said, they sound like Jason Garrett. They're not going to give you a lot of bulletin board material, but I believe every team needs a dog, and DeMarcus Lawrence feels and seems very comfortable in that role.
Yeah, I think that, and it's nice that it comes at the position that it does at defensive end. So not only do I think you need that kind of, you know, fiery alpha mentality in your locker room, especially when you've got a head coach who at least publicly doesn't do that. I mean, you know, they can say they don't pay attention to the outside noise and things like that, but Jerry will tell you and has said before, he does care about what the fans think. He does care about, you know, what their perception of how things are going are. It's not enough to, like, drive it, but it's a factor. And so you do want somebody out in public kind of being that person for the fans to rally to and rally around. And it's good that it is a guy like a defensive end like DeMarcus Lawrence, where so much of it is, you know, mano a mano, and it's you on an island with one other guy. It's not dependent on, you know, a bunch of other things going on. So it's encouraging to know not only is it that alpha dog mentality, but it's at a position where you really need it, where you need to have that, you know, mental wherewithal squaring up against another guy across from you.
All right, so Bobby, we saw this team go and get the win when they needed it. In other words, if you're going to get a win, get it against a divisional opponent ahead of the bye week. But do we know who this team is yet? Because if you look at the wins that they have still not beaten a team that's over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we make of this team?
And look, I think that you don't – just like, you know, you and I were talking last week and we were talking about how you can't really sugarcoat – you know, these three losses. You can make your excuses, but you really can't sugarcoat how bad three losses is. Three losses is bad. you also can't, you know, completely.
But before we even go a step further, mm-hmm. let's also talk about some of these losses. One to the winless Jets. Now, you could, again, right. argue that Sam Darnold sort of changes the makeup of that team, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought when I looked at the way they played against Miami at home,
mm-hmm.
that to me was the most concerning. I mean, when you look at the injuries.
And that was before the three-game losing streak. You could
right.
argue that was the start of their poor
right.
play.
And look, I'll give you the Jets in the sense that, again, it's on the road. Sam Darnold, you finish the game without six of your starters. But let's, again, go back and look at that Miami game. The way that Miami held into that, the way that they were at home, they weren't missing a ton of their starters in that game. Who were they missing in that game? Was Gallup in that one?
For the Miami game, Gallup was not there. No, they were missing Gallup. They were missing Tyrone Crawford. And I think that was also, again, where they were missing Antoine Woods.
Okay, you should have blown Miami
yeah.
out of that one.
Yeah, yeah, and you did, but I mean, it took some time. They were hanging with them until halftime. It took a fumble recovery in the red zone for you not to be trailing 13-10 at halftime. And yeah, there was a lot that
but
was...
Then again, just for juxtaposition, we look at the way that they played the Saints. Saints, arguably one of the toughest places to play as a road team.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the way they hung in there. Now, granted, it was against a backup quarterback, but let's look at the way that Teddy Bridgewater's been playing ever since then.
Sure.
You can't negate Teddy Bridgewater and who he is and what he's about. Now, they were able to – I felt like they were able to hold Alvin Kamara to a
– They swore – they have not tackled better in the last 2 years than I think they tackled that night against Alvin Kamara. There was one broken run where he broke like six tackles on one run. But ultimately, I mean, you had – a lot of instances where, you know, it's third and two, and normally that's money for Kamara, and you're handing it off, and Leighton Vander Esch is just wrapping them up, and they're stonewalling. That, there was a lot encouraging about the defense that game. That,
you
of
held the
was,
team to field goals.
Yeah, that of course.
You held a Sean Payton team to field goals.
Yeah, you should win that game.
Okay, then let's go over the Giants.
The Jets.
Well, I'm going back to the Giants.
Oh, okay.
The Giants win. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't take much comfort in that win.
Sure.
But after this bye week... you've got a Daniel Jones team.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to look any different?
Daniel Jones team and on the road.
And on the road. So, again, when we go back through some of these wins and losses, I'm having a hard time making sense of what this team is. The only thing that I think I continue to go to is this team, led by Dak Prescott, has been through a lot over the years. I mean, you look at the Zeke suspension, the Tony Romo injury, you know, just even, you know, looking at last year ahead of the bye week, not having a wide receiver, having, you know, like playing that wide receiver position by committee, essentially,
yeah.
not having your tight end and Jason Witten. They've gotten through a lot of these things, and they do seem that they are so resilient when their backs are against the wall. So I always sort of point to that in the sense that this is a team that just doesn't have a lot of quit.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a bit of a tragedy when you look at how this NFC East is sort of the NFC least these days, and you've got so much talent on paper on this team, and they haven't been able to put it together.
Yeah, and that's why when you say, you know, what is this team right now, it's really hard to say because the wins that they have, as you say, they're against losing football teams. It's, you know, before they beat the Eagles, their wins were against three teams that at that point were a combined 3-18, which is just awful. And even when you look back to last year and see some of the games they won, the big game against the Saints, but like it was pretty consistently they were losing to teams that maybe not at the time, but like this year you look at what the record is of the teams that they lost to last year. It's a lot of teams that have winning records this year. So it was teams that have talent and are putting it together this year. And so there's some questions about the quality of their victories. I will say, though, that on that other side, it's like you were mentioning, they very easily, I think, it is within the realm of possibility if you just have two, three, four things go different over that three-week stretch, just little moments in games, it's completely possible this football team's 7-0 right now. It's possible because, I mean, you look at the Saints, that was a two-point game. Jets were a two-point game. Jets were a two-point game, even missing six starters. Packers, I mean, if it's not – they lose that game by 10 points. If Amari Cooper doesn't have a ball bounce off his hands that the Packers then go down and score on instead of him scoring a touchdown, that's 14 points right there. You've made up the difference.
All right, so is this players or coach at this point? Because it sounds like the players took the onus this week.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much of a change in terms of coaching.
Yep.
And they got it done.
I think that, and see, that's the tough thing. Because at that point, you would have to look at it and say, okay, that's a preparation and that's a mental issue, mental preparation. That would be on Jason Garrett and or the coaching staff, other people on the coaching staff. Because as somebody, Jason Garrett does not call plays. Jason Garrett is not in charge of the offense or the defense. His job is CEO. I mean, his main job is preparation and game management. And some of their biggest issues have been preparation and game management. And so it's, you know, that's really all you're responsible for. But then at the same time, you heard how I don't think it was any sort of a softening. I don't think they were trying to protect him. You heard how just seriously everybody on that team was driving home the point. Jalen Smith, Dak Prescott,
execution.
Ezekiel Everett. This is us. We're not executing. We're being. This is us making mistakes. And then this week, when you see that Dak kind of steps up and some other guys take a step up and they say, you know, we're taking ownership of this. We're holding each other accountable. We got to, you know, make sure we're out here and, you know, and they were on mess. That's the best thing that you can say in terms of their execution is every single last thing they told us about this week that they were focusing on, they did. They knocked it out. And so, you know, you got to give credit to that too and say, okay, well, that was a player's issue, it sounds like they were saying. But then at the end of the day, you go, okay, well, then, it just doesn't sound like Jason Garrett's responsible for much on this football team anyway. So what is he bringing to the table if the players are ultimately the ones responsible for their own preparation?
I believe he brings exactly what Jerry Jones said last week. There's a discipline and a consistency with him. Mm-hmm. And some people will argue that players get tired of that, right?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the players over the years, I mean, I look at the guys like Sean Lee, Jason Witten, guys that have actually been in this locker room as long as they have, they still buy in.
Yep.
And it doesn't take long for the rookies to start buying in either.
No.
When I listen to the rookies in year two, they sound like Jason Garrett's.
Year one sometimes. It's amazing how fast they'll kind of adopt his same sort of language.
Monotonous to those of us in the media. But, you know, I've long said the guy that you get in the walk-offs that you're having – the lemonades with, the joke that he typically makes with the media, you know, that's a discussion over lemonades. When you get him off the podium, he is a different guy. There is a fire in him. When we've seen him in those moments that are unguarded, I think, what was it, last year or the year before when he's up on the podium and he was talking about Ezekiel Elliott, and oh my God, Jason Garrett let a cuss word slip when he was describing, you know, how hard he runs, right?
Yeah.
That's the fiery redhead Red ball coach.
Just watch All or Nothing on Amazon and you'll see how fiery he is to that team behind closed doors.
I just believe that our Ivy League educated head coach here in Dallas is smarter than us. I've long said that. And as much as I liked what Doug Peterson did for his team and said, I liked it. I loved the fact that he went out there and said, my team's going to win. It works for Sean Payton in New Orleans. That guy's fiery.
Yeah,
that guy's confident in his team. No one knocks Sean Payton when he does it. I don't think it works for Jason Garrett.
No.
Jason Garrett does that, you get killed.
Yeah. No, I mean, you'll hear all about 8-8 and, you know, who are you to, like, make this guy.
It doesn't behoove him. When he was asked about it last week, guess what he said? We're focusing on us.
Yeah. And you know what? Then you go in the locker room and everybody but DeMarcus Lawrence is saying that same
Jason
sort of
Garrett
line.
Garrett will never give you bulletin board material, ever.
No.
Again, let's go back to consistency. That's what he's good at.
Well, no, and I will say, as much as everybody and this is actually a good time to point this out, because I think it is important, and you heard the Cowboys talking about it a lot after this game against the Eagles. People kill him for the process, and you know, when he talks about the process, and I don't think that people quite understand what he means by the process, and they hear routine and it makes their eyes glaze over. But I mean, just think about it from the perspective of, and there's a video out there you can find, just search Jason Garrett Princeton process. He talks a little bit more about it in a conversation he had this past summer at Princeton. But it's this idea that if you show calmness and coolness and you're not breaking routine and you're believing in your routine throughout the week, and these guys get used to things, they don't have to worry about, you know, we're changing this up, we're doing this. You're not bringing in any outside factors.
It's the school uniform theory.
Yeah, very similar.
Don't overthink it.
Exactly. Just
you can focus on the curriculum when you're not focused on what you're wearing to school.
Focus on it, and that's the thing is that you know, if you get into routine and you try, it's no, I mean, people roll their eyes when, you know, Jason Garrett talks about it, but, you know, nobody rolls their eyes when you get a military person talking about that same sort of stringent routine in life. That's something that, you know, our, like I say, our nation's soldiers abide by, and that's, you know, there's a lot of battlefield language with the football field. And so I think that's probably it. I think Jason Garrett probably just approaches it the same sort of way. He wants, you know, that same sort of, those same sort of things that work with, you know, soldiers and things like that who are going off into war. He wants that for these guys here. You remain committed to, you know, this process. You don't upset the established order. When you do that sort of thing, it tends to have panics. I mean, think about, with as consistent as Jason Garrett is, if they did change stuff up next week, how much do you think that would rattle the players and go, something is off here?
100%.
Why are we changing things? This never happens.
Or if they made a coaching change.
Sure.
You know, for everyone that had argued coaching change in Dallas last week, I sort of laughed at this, because if you've covered this team and you've been around Dallas, how many times have Jason Garrett gone through this?
Yeah.
Like, this is wash, rinse, repeat with him.
Yeah.
This is something that comes up once a year, every year, because the standards are so high in Dallas. I mean, all you have to do is look in the media room that we're sitting in, and there's pictures of Jimmy Johnson. There's pictures of Landry. There's, you know, there's pictures of all these iconic names and legends and trophies and accolades that come with being in Dallas. You walk into this facility, the trophies are on display, as well as the Super Bowl rings. There is an expectation level that is incredibly high, which shocks a lot of people that, you know, Jerry expects it, but he hasn't made the risk that go into getting those. He's stuck with the devil that he knows.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe if you had shaken things up, if you had put Chris Richard, let's say, or Rod Marinelli at head coach, what are you accomplishing? Because as they pointed out, this is essentially a 10-game season.
Yep.
You know, you can look at this three ways. The team was either 3-13 or 13-3. And I believe they still looked at themselves heading into that game as we're 13-3.
Yeah, and I think that's because they viewed it as you heard Zeke say, shoot ourselves in the foot. Dak talking about mistakes we're making. Coop saying, you know, same sort of language.
This is, again, the players taking ownership and saying, this is execution. This isn't the coaching staff that needs to change. This is how we play on Sundays. Who was it? Jalen Smith last week said these are day of mistakes.
Very. And Jalen Smith, who is about as even keel as you can get in the locker
room. Another guy that doesn't give you bulletin board material.
He will give you nothing. One of my favorite quotes after the Jets game, they asked him about Sam Darnold. And this is the most Jalen Smith quote ever, if you've never heard Jalen Smith talk. They asked him, you know, talk about Sam Darnold, what kind of a player he is. He said, first round quarterback, really good player. Okay, well, you're just literally listing facts about
his bio.
He's a first-round quarterback. Thanks, Jalen. Anything else? Nope. Like, that's it. But
that's how you get media to leave you alone.
That after that Jets game, they asked him, you know, about preparation. He said, this is not preparation. We are being prepared by this coaching staff. These are day of mistakes we are making.
And that's why everyone jumped on Dak Prescott last week, saying that the team needed more intensity or they needed to practice harder. You and I were standing there in the scrum. Everyone blew that up as essentially him, like, sort of throwing his teammates under the bus. I didn't take it that way.
I think what he said publicly was
a call to arms, in my opinion.
I think it was an accountability measure. See, the only thing, I'll disagree a little bit, because I think privately, or publicly, I don't think it was a huge call. Privately, I think it sounded like he had directed that at certain people, because he said when somebody followed up, Edward was the one who followed up and said, when you say that you guys need to make practice harder, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean your intensity? And Dak corrected him and said, I always practice hard. And he said, that's just the way that I go. I'm saying more certain individuals need to be practicing harder, need to do that.
Who could he possibly have been calling out?
And again, it's not even necessarily like I have a problem with this guy. It could just be a light a fire under it. I mean, one of the examples, and I noticed this, we go out to practice. So one of the things that you'll see if you ever come out to practice is the first thing that they do is they line up, and then Coach Garrett will call out somebody from the team to lead the team
jacks.
In jumping jacks. And they do five sets of jumping jacks. There are some guys that go through it very intensely the way you, there are other guys who are like not even necessarily raising their arm. They're literally just flapping their wrists like, okay, all right, we're done. Now go. I would imagine that's the kind of thing that was – those are the kind of guys, whoever would be the ones that would do those sort of things, that maybe were bugging Dak in practice. That, like, come on, now let's, like – you know, I understand this is practice and you're not trying to burn the candle at both ends, but, like, let's approach this with some intensity because we're having intensity issues in the game. You need
the
to be –
practice and how you play mentality.
And he would not – I don't think he'd say names in the press.
He's
that's
not going to name
That's why he didn't. But I would be willing to bet privately, just like Garrett holds people accountable privately, I would bet Dak did. And we hear so frequently Gallup told us – I mean, we would have never known this if it wasn't for Gallup telling us. They were talking about the Doug Peterson comments. They asked Gallup about that last Monday, and he had said that – he said, yeah, you know, Dak was talking to us about that, and he said, if you need somebody to fire you up each week, you're not in the right state of mind. You should be fired up already. And then when we asked Dak about it, he said, I don't know, you know, it's – yeah, I said that, but I mean, Dak doesn't like – I don't think Dak – I think Dak, similarly to Jason, doesn't want you to always see the measures that he's taking as a leader behind the scenes. I mean, you'll see some of it. Shoot, after the game against the Eagles, he said, we're going to win a couple games in a row. He said, as we're about to go do. I mean, it was pretty firm. But I think that – yeah, I think I could see Dak stepping up and saying that, you know, I need to take some ownership here and light a fire under some guys here. Like, I'm sensing – and they all do that. Tom Brady's been known to do that. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. Troy Aikman was notorious for calling guys out individually at practice as, you're not giving your effort, and, you need to step this up. And that's very common with quarterbacks, that they're very intense at that position and, you know, very cerebral, and it's all about – so if you're not doing the – you're not running down these checklists of things you need to be doing. I could see that really rubbing Dak the wrong way and eventually calling somebody out.
What I appreciate, though, is that we're talking about Dak Prescott in year four. And again, he was sort of thrust into this job as a result of Tony Romo's injury. And again, I keep reminding people, it is always so incredible to me that he was fourth on the depth chart. Everyone forgets Jamil Showers, who ended up playing even on defense and special teams a lot, was the third string quarterback when Kellen Moore went down.
There was talk he was going to get cut in training camp, Dak, when minicamp was going on.
But I remember talking to him at training camp and him talking about how much he buys into manifestation and the psychology of what he's doing on the field. And he believes in success, and he also believes that the work you put in translates directly into your success. He would talk about staying up at night and actually visually going through how the play would look like and how it would end. And I cover the Saints as well, and Drew Brees is very much like that. But I think it's the maturity level of Dak that is probably the most impressive thing about him. And again, it's the guy, and Jason Garrett has said this a number of times, he never gets too high, he never gets too low. What we have seen from him this year is, I think, at least a little bit more of an admission of what's going on behind the scenes. You know, talking about throwing the heat checks and the one game, filling themselves too much. And he's learning that everything you say in Dallas, guess what? The media jumps on. Man, the media jumped on the filling themselves too much.
Do you think that's – I think he's always been that guy behind the scenes. Like I think that's who he is behind it. But seeing him do that publicly and kind of take ownership, do you think that has anything to do
with
this contract negotiation?
my mind.
Not even necessarily from his perspective. Like, I mean – do you think, and this is not something I know of, I don't know if Jane knows of it, but this is just something we're kicking around here, is do you think that in these discussions, do you think they've had any sort of conversations with him that says, look, Dak, you know, we're going to get this deal done, but, you know, this year we'd really like to see step up in this area, or we'd really like to see, or is it a function of a new voice like John Kitna coming here? Is that Kitna kind of lighting that fire?
Well, Kitna's a fiery guy.
Kitna's very Kitna says rip it, and Dak has, I don't think I'd ever heard Dak say rip it about a throw in his career. I've heard him say it like half a dozen times this year in post-game press conferences. So I wonder, is that
I don't believe
Kitna,
that it's tied to the money. You know,
not money, but just maybe like, I have a responsibility if I'm going to be this guy for the next 10 years.
But I think that's, he's been that guy.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I think that, you know, even talking to this team and some of my sources on this very subject, the issue in Dallas isn't writing the checks. They don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But it's also sort of we have no problem writing the checks if you win this. And this team hasn't been able to advance out of the NFC divisional round. And when they do that, when they find themselves in the NFC title game, or they find themselves in the Super Bowl, Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones will have no problem writing anyone on this team a check.
Are they holding the wrong people accountable in that sense then?
Yes.
Because they are paying Ezekiel Elliott, they are paying Jalen, and you're not paying your quarterback.
Yes. Especially because I argue that Dak has done everything you've ever wanted, from the leadership to the off-the-field issues to the way that he plays, the way he galvanizes his team, the way that he comes back, the way that he fights. Then you also look at his injury history. There is none in Dallas. Are these not all the things that you want? When you look at records, you're like the president of the Dak Prescott fan club. I mean, if you just look at some of the stats and research you put out there, you're a Dak truther, and you've got a community that follows you very strongly. Again, go ahead and throw out your handle for the Dak truthers
out there.
Bobby
Belt TX. I will, I'll arm you
water cooler discussions.
I'll arm you with heavily manipulated statistics about how great Dak Prescott is.
But he gives you everything you want, both on paper and in person. And so, to your point, they were able to move a lot of money around to lock in the Jalen Smiths, to get DeMarcus Lawrence here, to, you know, have Ezekiel Elliott on this team, you know, for the foreseeable future. I felt like Dak Prescott should have been a priority.
I do too.
And I still think he is.
I think they're playing, and I think you and I both agree. The Cowboys, and it ended up being fine. I think the Cowboys played, in my opinion, played too many games with DeMarcus Lawrence this offseason. I think they made that more difficult than it needed to be. And I worry that they, and it's not gotten there yet, and it doesn't seem like there's any tension at all between the Cowboys and Dak. Dak gave an interview to SiriusXM 2 weeks ago where he said, I believe in the Cowboys, I believe in my team, so I know it's going to get done, so I don't worry about it. So,
which is so impressive.
It is.
I mean, if you think about it, he could have held them hostage.
Oh, yeah, and he didn't. He showed up.
And with a young team, they couldn't have afforded to have their quarterback hold them hostage, because what would you have had in camp? You would have had Mike White, and you would have had Cooper Rush.
Mike White, who is not on an NFL roster right now.
Right. And so I think it speaks a lot to his character makeup. And granted, it helps that he's got the insurance money and the endorsements to sort of cover him through the season. But we've even seen it. When you look at this record and you look at this, the three-game losses, was he costing himself money?
Yeah.
In other words, when you're riding that high of those, you know, those three wins to start the season, and then you go on this tear of three straight losses, we sort of saw the market value fall a little bit, in my opinion.
And especially nationally, I think that became a big talk. I thought Dak played better than he was being given credit for in that three-game stretch, because, you know, you look at a game like the Jets where there's like a half a dozen drops and he's getting crushed. I mean, he's getting abused out there, and he's standing up and he's fighting back each time. I mean, if it was not – he went 28 of 40 that game, I think. You take out those six or seven drops, and we're talking about a guy who was completing 35 of 40 passes. Again, I don't care who that is. That's an NFL defense. That's incredibly difficult. There's been issues of – I had looked this up this week. This is actually a fun little note for you. I don't think I sent you this one.
We need like an alert button.
I know,
when
I do.
Come out with some of these fun facts. We'll start working that into the show.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're workshopping some things right now. No, but if you look at – when people talked about what's the turnover issue, why are they having so many problems with turnovers? Why aren't they generating enough of them? It's the opportunistic turnovers that present themselves that the Cowboys have had the most trouble with. Since Dak came to the Cowboys, 12 of his career interceptions have bounced off of his receiver's hands. 12 of those interceptions were balls that touched his receiver's hands and were eventually picked off. In that same time...
And the Dak truthers sing hallelujah.
In that same time, the Cowboys' defense has intercepted 4 passes that bounced off the hands of opposing receivers. Now, the Cowboys don't have some...
So break that down for those of us that have a hard time following along.
The Cowboys don't, you know, drop passes at a rate 3 times higher than the rest of the league. All that means is that the Cowboys' defense is not capitalizing on those same opportunities like the defenses that are going against the Cowboys are. I mean,
see, you're welcome, peasants. I, too, am one. I need him to explain these things to me sometimes.
So, that's just the point that I think that Dak sometimes gets flagged. And I mean, look at like the Amari Cooper interception. It wasn't one that bounced off the hands, but, you know, there was no pass interference call on the Gallup one. I mean, sure, you've got the ones lately where he's ripping it, like against Philly in the end zone, and it gets picked off, or against Miami. And that's something John Kitna has encouraged. John Kitna told everybody that at training camp, that he said this is what we want him to do. If he gets the look, we want him to throw it and not worry about what's there.
All right, so that's sort of the state of the Cowboys, the thought process, some of the stuff that came out after this game and this big win over the Eagles. Cowboys 37, Eagles 10. They get ready for this bye week, and a couple of injury updates for you. Ran into Leighton Van Der Esch in the locker room on Sunday after the game, and I got to tell you, he was agitated, would probably be the best word to describe him.
I've not seen him that on edge before.
He came out of that game. It looks like he got tangled up with Jeff Heath and
Dallas Goedert. It looked like he just kind of got his helmet rocked a little bit.
But it was described in the game as a neck stinger. He told me after the game that it was his first neck stinger. If it was up to him, he would have continued to play. But he very defiantly and emphatically said, it wasn't up to me. I also asked him about, there were these reports about a history of neck injuries leading up to the draft.
Yep.
He was defiant against that. Man, he did not like that characterization as it applied to him. So, but anyways, today Stephen Jones went on 105 Through the Fan, the local radio station here, and said that they got some pretty good news about not only him, but also Robert Quinn, their defensive end. Talk about a sigh of relief when you look at what Quinn's been able to do.
He's been a monster.
That is a guy that you need on this team. Talking about that rib injury, looks like the prognosis is pretty good, and it looks like both of those guys are going to be able to play after the bye week. And then what a shock to see Tyron Smith, Lael Collins out there. I still maintain that Tyron, I saw him struggling there.
He had that right ankle taped up pretty heavily.
And this guy already looks like Megatron with his, like, you know, the brace on his arm. He was getting twisted around a little bit, something that we're not used to seeing. So
he had a few penalties. He was giving up some rushes. I think the Cowboys are going to come out of this bye week as healthy as they've been all year. This could not have come at a better time for them.
Which is good. So let's talk about this remaining schedule real quick, Bobby. November 4th, after the bye week, they're at the New York Giants again, a Daniel Jones team. Mm-hmm. It's going to look a little different.
Yep.
November 10th, it's an 8:20 game Eastern Standard Time. That's when they go and they have the Vikings here at home, so another night game.
Big game. That's a game that's a team that just really tore up the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm-hmm. And then November 17th, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, they are at the Lions. And then they follow that up. This one's going to be the tricky one. At the Patriots, November 24th.
I'm actually really excited. I think that's going to be a great measuring stick for the progress of Dak Prescott. I'm really excited to see how he operates against a Bill Belichick defense.
Can you imagine? And what does that do for Jason Garrett if you pull out a win in Foxborough?
That would be very Cowboys. That's what they do.
I've argued about that. They lose the games they're supposed to win the games they're supposed to lose.
Yeah, they would lose to the Jets, and they would beat the Patriots.
1,000%. Week 13, November 28th, they have got a game against the Bills.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's the Thanksgiving game, Cole Beasley return game. December 5th at the Bears. Then you've got the Rams, 4:25 Eastern Time, December 15th. That should be interesting.
I'm excited to see Amari Cooper versus Jalen Ramsey. Now that Jalen Ramsey's with the Rams, that's a matchup I'm really excited to see.
Well, not to mention there were changes made on offense as a result of that game. We talked about Jerry Jones and the players frustrated with the way they played that game in L.A.
Yep.
And then Eagles get a chance to sort of get revenge against the Cowboys. This one, a December 22nd game. When they travel to Philly, and then they round out the season against the Redskins. Of course, Bill Callahan, now the interim coach, former offensive line coach for the Cowboys.
It's not an easy schedule, but there are the Bears and Rams games look easier than they did 3 weeks ago. You still don't want to count them as wins, but there is, you know, it was good that they got this win. You did not want to sit through the bye week having lost four straight.
And again, this was Dak Prescott after the game talking to us about their mentality heading in to the remaining parts of the schedule.
I've told y'all all year long, and continue to say, we've got the right men in that locker room that when we're in this position, that double down on themselves, believe in the man next to them, and go out there and just perform like you need to perform when they need to. So, as I said, we're going to grow from it. We're going to figure out how to do that when we win a couple of games here in a row, as we're about to go do, and when success hits, we're going to handle that the right way and not put ourselves in adverse situations.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to our first podcast of the Boys and Girl Podcast. Bobby and I appreciate you tuning in. We hope that you enjoyed this, you got some value out of it, and we hope you'll be back for our next one.
Don't ask me about that man no more, bro.